Well, unfortunately, as Tuesday, again, it's when schedule allows that we get the privilege of talking with Maine Governor Paul LePage. And, you know, I was told that as we're in the middle of budget talks,
yeah,
there might be a likelihood that we won't be able to talk. It's too bad because I wanted to ask his opinion. He sent out the statement last Friday, I think, as he's watching both Republicans and also, well, hang on a second. Now the phone's ringing. It could be him. I don't know. Good morning, the George Hale Rick Tyler Show.
Yeah, Governor here.
Oh, good morning, Governor. Okay. I spoke too soon.
We were afraid you wouldn't be there, but it was so hot in Augusta yesterday that maybe you were under air conditioning, but happy to have you.
Oh, no. I was, I'm here.
Are those, by the way, we know you got, by the way, I just want to ask that, you got heat pumps now in the Blaine House, and they can switch over, and they can be air conditioning as well as heating. You got those switched over, I bet.
You got it. They're switched over, and it's just nice and cool.
Good. Well, we got so many items. Rick, you take the first one.
Okay, could we ask the first of you, and that's the headline today. We kicked it around with listeners this morning that Attorney General Janet Mills says she's ready to sue the Trump administration should they pull the plug on the Katahdin Woods and Waters National Monument. She says it's unprecedented, but so would her actions be unprecedented. What are your thoughts?
I think she should worry about bigger things. She ought to represent the state of Maine instead of... the problem with Janet Mills is she's a Democrat before she's a lawyer, and that's the problem.
I guess, and I'm not trying to play lawyer here on this story or any story, really. When Rick said unprecedented, I guess it's because of the Antiquities Act. No president has ever overruled a preceding president.
That is not true. That is not true.
Okay, go for it.
There are presidents that have shrunken some of the, they've increased them and shrunken some of the Antiquities Act action by presidents. I believe Truman did it. I believe Eisenhower did it. Yeah, so I think she's wrong. Now, no president has ever completely reversed it, but they have they've decreased the size and they've increased the size.
If they've increased or decreased the size, then that would kind of throw a monkey wrench into the statement that Attorney General Janet Mills said, which she says...
I just read a big report by, I forget which national think tank, and she's dead wrong. She hasn't done her homework.
She says the president cannot rely on this process as a pretext to take the unprecedented and unlawful step of undoing the designation, and she goes on. Unprecedented, yes. Unlawful? Well, that's questionable.
Of course it's not unlawful. Well, it is what it is, and she'll find out. Like I said, she's a Democrat before she's a lawyer.
All right, Governor, I guess that really clears up your point on it. I want to get to where we are this issue over the budget, because the House voted 81-64 Monday to pass the Democratic budget on party lines. The Senate expected to come out with a version today, setting up kind of an impasse. Eventually, reporters keep saying that you will veto it. Where are we on the budget?
I have no idea. I don't know what the budget is. There's three budgets that I'm hearing, and the Democrats want to spend. The House, the Republican Senate wants to spend. Nobody's doing their homework. They're not reading the stuff. I am so, you know, I've come to this conclusion. Term limits are the worst thing for the state of Maine because we lose our, institutional knowledge. And I'll tell you, there's one guy over there, and we're on different sides of the path most of the time. But I tell you, he is doing the right thing over there. He brought in a fourth budget to try to kill all three of them. That's John Martin. He's the only one over there, along with Bill Diamond and a few others, that are really showing leadership. Certainly not those in leadership showing much leadership. Probably the exception of Ken Fredette is really trying to work for the people of the state of Maine, and I think he's the only one that really cares about working on behalf of the people of the state of Maine.
If it does come down to education, we read Ken Fredette's editorials saying that we're getting poor results considering how much more we're spending to a dwindling enrollment. It is time for reform before we start throwing more money at this. But do we have time to get that done?
Well, you know, they've had the budget since January. It's not my fault. They've been given a very good budget. They've been given a lot of reforms, and they've been sitting on their hands since January, and shame on them. You know, I have seen an unprecedented number of bills come down from the legislature that are passed unanimously under the hammer, and nobody has read the bills. This is the laziest bunch I've ever seen in my life in this legislature. They're not doing any work. And in some cases, it's because they don't know what to do because they don't have any experience. But I'm really, really ashamed of saying that I'm part of this government.
Well, apparently what's going to happen is it's going to be some bipartisan committee that's going to try to come out with this in time. This, after all, is the 13th of June. You need 10 days to consider a bill. It's got to be on your desk by, I would think, the 19th or the 20th. The word seems to feel, at least everybody seems to feel, that you're going to you would veto this budget if they come out of it with not repealing the 3% surcharge. So
I'm going to tell you this. I put up a budget, 6.15 income tax. I put up a budget of $6.8 billion. If they cross into the $7 billion range, they get a veto. And I don't care if it's July 1 or July 15th. They've had 6 months to do this work, and they've sat on their hands, and now they're trying to put a gun to my head. Sorry, guys. If you don't do your job, then I'm going to do mine.
Maine Governor Paul LePage talking with us. Could I ask him, last week we talked with many who were excited to see measures repealing the tip credit out of the citizen-initiated and voter-approved minimum wage increase, and it heads to you eventually. I think that there might have to be one or two more votes. Should it come to you, I speculated aloud that, you know, there's a possibility the governor might veto it because it doesn't go far enough to repealing the entire minimum wage increase. Was I off the mark on that?
Yeah, I think so. I think this is going to be one of those that the people are going to see how damaging it is. And as you know, I think we get the tip credit back in because I think it hurts a lot of people. You can't take money away from people. The next one I think they're going to find is the indexing. If you recall, we had indexed gas, but when it hit $4, we repealed it. And the same thing is going to happen with this. Businesses are just not going to be able to stand the pressure of the wages. And so if they don't repeal it, people are just going to lose their jobs, and we're going to go to robotic kiosks and all this kind of stuff, which is a shame, but that's what they're looking for. And so I think that they're going to repeal it. I think the other thing you're going to find is the speed in which it increases once a year is just so fast that the doors are going to start locking up. And so it is what it is. Society will move on, and actions will be taking place. I got a letter yesterday from a gentleman who he lives in Cape Elizabeth. He lives in Maine because he loves Maine, but his job's in Washington, and he commutes. And he's decided that it's not worth living in Maine anymore.
Well, we all know all of these items come down. You need 2/3 of the legislature to overturn a veto. In your conversations with your side, particularly Mr. Thibodeau.
Mr. Thibodeau, he hasn't spoken to me in years.
Well, I assume you should talk to him a little bit. But
No, he doesn't talk to me at all. He came down one time and said, I need your help. And I said, what do you need? He said, I just need your help. I said, okay, tell me what you need. And that was the end of it. And I haven't seen him for months.
Well, he's got to have a conference committee by this week.
This is going to come down to, they're going to put guns to each other's heads, and whoever blinks first will have a budget or won't have a budget. It's just the way it's going to work. I mean, it works like this every year, and they ignore the governor, have ignored the governor. This is his fourth biennial budget, and it's the fourth time that they've ignored anything that the governor has done.
Okay.
So why do you even bother to propose a budget if they're just going to...
That's my point. I think we should change the Constitution, say the legislature puts the budget in, because the governor's budget means nothing.
Well, I will
and
tell
that's
you.
That's why I do not take, I have not, and people will say, you cut this, you cut that, you cut this, you cut that. The governor doesn't cut anything. He doesn't put anything in. He doesn't cut anything. He does not have the ability to appropriate a penny. It's all done by the legislature. And what they do is they hide behind the mask that it's a governor's budget. but it's not a governor's budget.
I think ultimately, well, many are watching to see if the budget that does come from the legislature will effectively mitigate the citizen-initiated, voter-approved 3% increase in tax on the wealthy, because you propose that they shift. Democrats, they say, no, we got to do what the people want. We know that the House Republicans are saying, no, this is the way we need to meld this.
The people didn't even know what they voted on. That's the problem. And this is just this is just hiding behind the closed door. The citizens did not realize, both on both initiatives, and actually we've found now that one of the people initiated referendums is unconstitutional. Ranked choice voting is unconstitutional. We knew it going in, they still voted for it. And so we know that the folks that voted on the minimum wage didn't realize the tip credit was going to go. Many people didn't realize it was going to be indexed. The same thing with the 3%. People didn't truly understand. Now, if you ask, do you want more money for education? Yes. But you got to continue the question, do you want quality education? Now, that's where the problem is. If we got a declining enrollment, we've got a 27% decline in enrollment, and we got like a 15% decline in enrollment, something of that nature, and a 27% increase in cost. What is going on? There's got to be a problem there. You can't continually add money with a declining enrollment, and the performance of the students is flat. I mean, we need to look at this. And we've been trying to do it for 6 years.
Yeah. Well, today is special election day, kind of special referendum day. This is, again, for a bond issue of significant amount. I went out on a limb, I guess, yesterday, said you were in favor, but I remain waiting to hear your answer.
Yes, I am in favor of it.
This is for R&D, something that Maine does lack in.
I'm not so sure it lacks in R&D, George. I think where Maine lacks is the C. We do plenty of R&D. In fact, universities they all get this money and they go out and they do a lot of R&D. The problem is we never bring it to commercialization. That's where Maine has a real significant problem, because the university has all kinds of patents on the shelf, but nobody brings them to commercialization. This bond is intended to start that direction, and then we're going to have another one, hopefully another one in the fall, that will really do some commercialization of some of this and create some jobs.
You confident that this one we can get our return on investment? George, you said yesterday we were talking to Deb Newman about it. $1 in, you get $4.50 out, maybe, but we still have to bond it, but you've got enough money now in our rainy day fund that we got to lower borrowing rate. So
yeah, we've got a really good borrowing rate right now, and I think that this particular money, a lot of it's going to be going, I believe, to Jackson Lab in at their new expansion in Ellsworth, and so I think yes, there's going to be a return on investment on this one.
Maine Governor Paul.
Actually, the work that Jackson Lab has done, and MDI, and some of the lab work in the state. The research that's been done in the state has been really a pretty good return on investment to the people of Maine.
In the Blaine House, which is cool thanks to the air conditioning component of the heat pumps installed, Maine Governor Paul LePage. Governor, thank you so much for
dialing in. Electricity costs in the Blaine House, not in the state, but in the Blaine House, we've gotten more efficient.
You know, you realize that Jim LeBrec is on tomorrow morning. Tomorrow morning's his day to be in the studio. I'm sure he'll tell us all about it.
Oh, I'm sure.
Thank you, Governor. Best to you, sir.
Right on. Same to you guys. Bye-bye.